My name is Michael Coates. I'm a former firefighter, but I'm also a former soldier. And it's the stories from the individuals within this military community that I'm desperate to document.
Aged 85, our next guest has seen it all. Born and bred in London's East End in the 1930s, we talk about Operation Pied Piper, the mass evacuation of children during the Second World War. We also speak about her life, family, surviving the Blitz, being buried alive, and forgiveness. Episode 15, Mari Butwell, aka Gail Walker. This is Declassified.
With her platinum blonde curls and impudent icy blue eyes, Mari Walker from Stepney, known to the neighbourhood as Gail Walker, had the face of an angel, but the cheek of the devil. When occasion required it, she could scrap like a bare-knuckle boxer.
Yeah, I could.
What was you like as a child?
I had an older sister. She's only 1 year and 3 months older than me, but I had to look after her because she wouldn't, and I wouldn't know where to touch her. I'm telling you, I was born with no fear of heights, no fear of nothing, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just not frightened of anything. So anybody started on me, I started them out. And you couldn't go in and tell my mum, so-and-so's hit you, because she'd give you a clout, now go out and hit him back. And that was it. You couldn't, my mum was a, what you call, old people years ago were fighters, the women. They had to be, didn't they? They had a hard time years ago, the women did. I mean, the men used to think, good drink Saturday night, good to clout their old woman and make up Sunday morning. Wasn't it?
Was you close as a family?
When I was young, excuse me, we was playing, and we had a lovely family life. You know, Nan and Grandad lived opposite, Mum and Dad lived together, and we all played and that, and all of a sudden Hitler come, and that was the end of it. We all, Nan and Grandad went to Bedford, Grandad died there, Mum and Dad separated, and we all got separated. We all went to Bedford to be, Windsor we went to, not Bedford. We went to Bedford at the end of the war. And
was Windsor where you got evacuated?
Yeah, first time, the four of us. But my oldest sister had to go work. My other sister, because the woman was wicked to us, she stole money to get back to London to get our mum. And our mum came. Oh, our mum did it, that woman. Did she hit her? She'd used to throw me in the cupboard with a pair of slippers, leopard skin, and you say, if you don't be quiet, they'll come alive and it'll eat you. I didn't even know what a bleeding leopard was, let alone anything else. I was the youngest.
So you were six when you evacuated?
I was older than six.
Okay.
I must have been about seven. I didn't go to school. Alice went to school. I didn't. She didn't want to let me. And of course, when our mum came, the woman had a pebble dash wall and our mum got her head and down it. And she all started. And the copper said to her, I'm going to nick you. She's good. Nick her as well for starving me kids. And look what she's done to her. And she went potty, my mum.
You were in Stepney.
Yeah.
Off Commercial Road, Flamborough Street.
Right opposite Rotherhide Tunnel.
Yeah, right there. Yeah,
Park,
okay.
We call it.
It's near Yorkshire. Is it Yorkshire Street?
Yorkshire Square.
Yeah. Yorkshire Square, yeah.
That's right. It was a lovely community. And do you know what? If you go back today, they've never altered nothing. It had to be...
Really?
The house I got bombed in and that alive, they've had to rebuild it because they can't touch it at all.
Oh.
It's just like going back in the olden days down there.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I go there and look at the house where I was born and, you know, and when they rebuilt the three houses that got bombed, you know, because there was three of them got bombed that night, they've had to rebuild them. They're not allowed to touch anything there whatsoever.
The original.
It's what?
The original stuff there, you know, they're not allowed to touch.
Yeah.
Let me get this right time-wise. Operation Pied Piper was the evacuation of all the children from all the main cities
everywhere into
the countryside.
Yeah. We all thought we was going for a day out. No, we really did.
Really?
We used to go to the temple, and if you got 20 tickets, used to take you to day out to Southend.
Okay.
And we all thought we was going out for the day, you know, really. Nobody told us we wasn't coming home.
And then you went to Windsor and you got mistreated in Windsor.
Oh, yeah, she was terrible.
Did people know who they were sending their kids to?
No, they used to go to the door, knock on the door, and they say, well, I'll have that one, but I don't want that one. They used to pick who they was going to have, you know. And because I've got fair hair and all my sisters are dark-headed. I mean, I think I'm the milkman's, but don't matter. When they said they'd take me and not my sister, she used to say, no, we've got to stay together with sisters. But they wouldn't believe we were sisters.
Can you remember it? Can you remember that the evacuation?
I can remember as if it was yesterday. When we come home, because as I said, they sent us away too quick because nobody didn't drop the bomb for a year, did they?
Another year after
that,
yeah.
We all come home, didn't we? You know, no bombs. And then when the bombs started falling, as soon as they finished, I used to go out and get shrapnel because it was worth money.
Oh, okay.
And then my sister, Alice, she started having fits because the bombs, every time a bomb came, she started fitting. And because then we had to go away and we went to Wales.
So this was, so that we, just to keep it, so we had the evacuation, you came back, your mum came and got you all back because you'd been mistreated. Yeah, you went back to Stepney.
Went back to Stepney. We stayed there for a couple of years, but then Alice really, you know, every time there was a bombing and that, she started screaming. She was really frightened, you know. Me, I couldn't have cared less. It's like everything else. If you was born with one arm, you don't know. If you was born with two arms and then all of a sudden it goes, you're going to miss it, ain't you?
Mm.
Well, I don't know why. It never bothered me.
And the bombs?
No.
The Blitz started in September 1940,
yeah.
And there was a particular... The East End got hammered.
Oh, not many. I mean, but all... When I got buried alive in the house, because my dad's house there, and you cross the road and there's a big dock.
Sorry.
It's a dock.
Do you know what? One second.
Go on.
What happened? You got buried alive in your house?
Yeah, the bombs dropped heavy that day and they was hitting the docks.
Yeah.
Well, we lived near the docks and the railway went like that over our house, over the way where I was in the shelter.
Oh, were you in an Anderson shelter?
Yeah, and the house got bombed and everything fell on it, plus the railway lines. They couldn't get us out because they wanted to get the docks back working. Because they had to get the docks back working before, and they knew we was there. It took them 3 days to get us there.
So all the manpower was diverted to the docks to get the docks up and running?
Yeah, all the docks, they had to, didn't they?
Because, I mean, hundreds of tons of bombs were getting dropped on the East End.
And the railway came out down and everything.
And you were trapped for 3 days in the Anderson shelter.
Yeah. Don't you know the story about that?
Go on.
The man, Mr. Laver, he lived opposite us. And I never knew nothing about Falstick. Well, his leg was trapped and he took it off. Gave me nightmares, that did, for years. Yeah, it did. How can you take a leg off, you know? And when we come out, he was carrying me and I ran to my granddad, Joe, he's my nan's second husband. And I kept looking at him and I wouldn't go in his house for years because I knew he had another leg in the cupboard. You imagine a little girl.
Yeah.
And also,
who else was in the Anderson shelter?
There was Mrs. Riley, her two sons, Mr. Laver. I don't know what Mr. Laver was doing in there because he lived next door. But there was about five of us in there.
Yeah. For 3 days.
Yeah. 3 days.
You've just said it about having nightmares about the leg, but was it actually being contained in somewhere like that?
It was frightening and it didn't affect me. Until all of a sudden, I wouldn't have a door shut. I couldn't sleep with no one. I didn't like nobody cuddling me.
Really?
And then my mum took me to see a doctor, and the doctor said, has anything happened to this child? No. My mum said, well, she was buried alive for a couple of days. So she's suffering from claustrophobic.
Yeah.
I can go in lifts. They don't frighten me. If that was an ordinary door and you left me in there, I couldn't. I got to have the door open.
Yeah.
It, not as bad as when I was young, but I've never been able to sleep with anybody.
Mm. In the same bed?
No. Can't. When I first got married, my mum said to me, what's the matter with you? I said, I can't sleep with him. I said, he moves in the night. And next thing, there was two twin beds there. When he got in bed, he said, why can't I get near you? I said, we're in twin beds and that's how it's going to be. And that was it.
He do not
moan,
mess.
Didn't moan or nothing.
Yeah.
No.
Was you finding, because you've said about your sister as well, was you finding a lot of those, and we're jumping forward a bit, but was you finding a lot of the effects of the Blitz were kind of coming forward later on, like coming to the surface?
It was hard when we was evacuated. Let me tell you this bit. When we got evacuated, as I said, they come along, you walked along with them all, and they picked this one out and that one out. And they treated us terrible. The kids, they called us the dirt evacuees.
Oh.
So I hit this, Edna, I hit this Margaret Shepherd. No, Margaret Green, her name was. I give her a good hiding. And my aunt had to go over there. We had to call my aunts. And was in the front room. She said, why did you hit us? I said, she keeps calling us dirty evacuees. I said, and we're not dirty.
Yeah.
You know. So Mrs. Mather said, no, she didn't. I said, well, we were so dirty. Why is she wearing my sister's coat? And my sister kept her clothes. Now it's me. I used to climb trees and scratch my shoes. Nobody wanted mine when they was finished.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But we weren't treated all that marvellous.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the evacuees wasn't. We was called dirty evacuees and we wasn't liked at all.
Mm.
And it was hard. But then, during the war, it was, how can I explain to you? You played, nobody fared with nobody. We all played together. We shared our things. We left our things outside in the street, our skates, our bikes, our scooters, our dollies and prams. We shared, but it's not like that now. I don't like this world today.
Mm.
Everybody's
in a rush to.
Yeah, yeah.
During the Blitz, and we'll focus on the Blitz for the time being, okay, because it was such a, you know, big part of your, I suppose, your life, really. Was the community coming together? Would you all look after each other?
We did. It was when the men come home, they didn't like coming home. They wanted to go back because they used to say, oh, it's worse here in the front.
Really?
But it's, you say about the Blitz, it was harder after the Blitz.
Because,
well, nobody, I can't remember anybody being married together. My mum lived in one turning, my dad lived in another turning. Teresa's husband was being chased by the MPs. Blossom's mum and dad separate. Everybody, the women didn't want the men home. I mean, they was having a good time. Well, they didn't want the kids home, let alone the men. No, but that's true. People don't realise that. I mean, you imagine you've got four kids and they've gone away and you're having a good time. And all of a sudden you've got four kids back.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
about it. They didn't want us back.
What was it like then? So, do you know when you said about, so a lot of the men, what did you, was your dad still in Stepney?
My mum lived in Flamborough Street. My mum lived in York in Whitehorse Road, which is one turning away from one another.
Were they separated?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so I said everybody, nobody stayed together after the war. Nobody.
Oh, that was after the war?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, she found a lover and he found a lover.
Yeah, it was all going on in Stepney.
Yeah. And Blossom's mum, she found a woman.
Right.
Not a man. And you imagine us when we was kids, you know, why is your mum sleeping with a woman? Your dad's on the couch, you know.
Yeah.
And then I was in Teresa's one day and she's clean doing her eyes. And all of a sudden Tommy ran through, that's her husband. Then an MP ran through and she went, hello, Tom. And then the coppers ran through, the Rossers as we called them. We didn't call them coppers. It was fun. It was.
Yeah.
It was fun, but it was hard as well. But we all shared. It was a nice. I couldn't. Like one day, somebody said to me, "Ma, why does your mum live there and your dad lives there?" I don't know. Winnie, that's my older sister. Why does mum live there and dad lives there? They're separated. What do you mean? Well, they don't love one another. So she's got love, and that was it.
Mm.
But you accepted it. What else could you do? You're a kid. What else can you do?
What was it? Do you know when, you know, because you say, can we go back to, can we talk about your sister with the fact that she didn't like the bombs?
No, she didn't. She's terrified she was.
In what, how long was it after the bombing started when?
A couple of years, and all of a sudden she just, But I jump, even to today, like, yeah. I don't like fireworks because when they do that big bat.
Yeah, me too.
No.
Not fun.
If the backfire, I jump. And I haven't been able to get on an underground for years and years. It's only recently I've been able to get on an underground.
Why is that?
Well, you're closed in, ain't you? You're like alive in an underground, ain't you? It's terrible. I'll tell you the feeling of claustrophobia. If you ever get a chicken, pour hot water on it and see how the skin tightens up. Mm. Well, that's how it is with claustrophobia. You feel like you're getting so tight you can't breathe. You've got to get out, you know.
Yeah.
It's the most frightening thing it is. But if I go in the supermarket, if my kids was here, they'd tell you, I can go in some supermarket if I can see an ending, but some I can't. If I can't see where's the ending, I can't. And if I go in with my kids and all of a sudden I can't see them.
The exit?
Yeah, I go.
Yeah.
Lisa, she goes, I'm at the back of you. Yeah. I really go potty, you know. If I can't see a way out, I don't like it. Don't like it. How many times I've left a basket full of food and had to run out? I've tried hard, but...
Yeah, because of the collapse, yeah. Because of the being buried in.
That's what they said it's caused.
Yeah, you know? I know, I can imagine.
But I've got no fear whatsoever of anything else, none whatsoever. My granddaughter took me to this place and she said, come on then, we'll go on the whip. All right, I went, David said, you can't take your nan on the whip, 85 years old, what are you talking about? Going up the stairs and you went up and up and up and you get in this big round thing and go through this pipe and all of a sudden, why they call it the whip, it falls about 5 floors high and then it goes up the wall like that. It's brilliant. I thought it was brilliant. I can't see no fear whatsoever. I just like life.
Have you always been out like that since a little one?
My mum always used to say, I don't know where I got her from. She don't care a toss about nobody. She don't or anything. Yeah. No.
Did your sister recover from it then? Or did she
didn't come home no more. She went to Wales. She never come home no more.
Oh, really?
She's married a Welshman. And he was rushing home on her son's first birthday. And he went like that to miss a lamb and he went over the cliff and got killed outright. And then she came home for a couple of weeks. She said, I can't stay here. She said, you're like rats running along. She said, you're always in a hurry. And she went back and married another man.
When was that? After the war?
Yeah, after the war, yeah. And the man she married, he was... He came from North Wales and he had 7 brothers and 1 sister. And when he came, he was only a little boy and they never ever come and found him.
Mm.
And then one day there was a knock on the door and they said, can we speak to John Roberts? And Alice said, you must have known him and it was his brother.
Oh, wow.
Anyhow, when I see him, I said, well, how'd you get on seeing all your brothers and sisters? And he was really upset. I said, why are you so upset, John? He said, I wish I hadn't met them. He said, because I was thinking of them as a child. He said, they was all strangers. Yeah. They were sad. A lot of sad things happened in the war. I mean, kids lost their mum, their dad, brothers. I mean, we went to pictures once with the twins. Mother asked us, where did the twins stay? Because there was an air raid. They both got killed outright. Got caught in a bomb.
How old were the twins?
About 11 or 12, something like that. No. But I always had a good time. Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. Right. I meant to turn it off downstairs.
No worries. Keep it in.
I know who that is. I bet that was Kate. Right, that's all. Sorry about that.
No, it's all right.
No, after the war, it was hard after the war as well. Harder after the war.
What?
Because during the war, you got black market stuff, you know.
Yeah.
My mum was good at it. And, but after the war, we thought, we'd go out and buy this and buy it. But it wasn't. You couldn't. You still had clothing coupons. You still had ration books. 2 ounces of this and 2 ounces of that. You see a queue and you queued up. You didn't know what was at the other end, but you just queued up because there was a queue and they were selling something.
Yeah.
But as I said in the book, my mum was a moneylender. My dad was a fish market manger. So we didn't go very short of food, but we were, you couldn't, you know.
What was the women like then? Because you said it about 5 or 6 minutes ago. You talked about, you know, the women being hard and especially your
they
mum.
Were hard.
And
years ago.
What was your mum doing then to make kind of ends meet during the especially during that war
and
after?
She was a butcher. She worked in the butchers.
Right.
Yeah, she worked in the butchers and she was a qualified butcher. Give her a leg of lamb or a cow, she'd cut it up. And I mean cut it up. My mum was a big woman, you know. But if anybody knocked on the door and said, your girl walker's done so-and-so, she'd say, they used to say, well, are you going to tell her all? She would say, Once the door was shut, she used to say, hark, if you making me big people knock on the door. I used to say, well, they shouldn't do what they did, should they? But my other sisters.
Is it because she was different?
I was different to them for a year. Definitely different. Alice was a timid little thing. Laura was, she always thought she was a lady, I think. My sister Winnie treated me, she always used to say, she had three sons. She used to say, I might have three sons, but I've always had a daughter. She always treated me like I belonged to her. And I didn't like that at all. I used to say, no, she's me, mum, not you, you know, because, no, I wanted to be an hairdresser. I always wanted to be an hairdresser. No, you can't be a hairdresser, babe. She called me. Because the hair girl, I want to be an hairdresser. And she said no, and I couldn't be one.
Yeah.
And that was it. But I've done some tricks in my time.
Go on.
When you started work, when you left school, you had to sign a contract that you'd do 7 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old was you then?
About 14. And she got me this job in this factory. Oh, my God. The first of all, we started off sewing on buttons and that. I'm not a pretty good sewer, Sam. And then you go on this machine, that machine. And my sister said to me, now, if they send you out for a rubber hanger and pigeon's milk, come home. So I went home. And she said, what time do you finish work, babe? I said, 5:30. Right, get there at 5. Gone in there at 5 o'clock. Couldn't get no pigeon's milk. I tried everywhere for you.
Oh, really?
So on the Thursday, I got my wages. My sister, show us your wages. They stopped me a day's wages. She went in like a out of a cage. Well, you stopped a day's wages? Who sent her out? She's supposed to be here. While she's here, she's under your care, which I was.
I was
underneath contract.
Yeah.
So she said, if that money ain't back in her wages... Anyhow, I was at the bus stop and I see Elsie. She said to a friend, she said, what's the matter, Ma? So I went, I hate that job. She came on. So she took me out there and I didn't tell nobody for months. I'd gone to another job. Sadie and Joe I went to. Oh, I had a brilliant time with them too.
Yeah.
Brilliant time. Because they was both Jewish and Sadie'd have a row with Joe and Joe would say to me, tell Sadie so-and-so and Sadie. and then one day he stopped me... 15 minutes on me money because I was about 3 minutes late. I goes into him. I said, why you stopped me, Joe, 3 minutes on my money? He said, you was late. 15 minutes he stopped me. I was 3 minutes late. He stopped me 15 minutes. Oh, yeah. The next I went in. He said, what do you think you're doing? I said, you stopped me 15 minutes. I'm going to have my 15 minutes. And what are you going to do about it? He said, you'll get out. I said, no, I won't, Joe. And I had a machine nobody else could work. So I didn't buy the cobblers, didn't I? Nobody else could work this machine, only me.
Did the women always rule the roost then? Because you see, I watch Call the Midwife and stuff now, and it's the popular area. It's all midwives in the 50s and all the rest of it. Did the women do everything?
Yeah, everything. I'll tell you what was very strict. If your doorstep wasn't clean and your windows, you got evicted.
Evicted?
Yeah. That's why... If you look at old films, you'll always see the doorstep. They'd be out 6 o'clock in the morning to do their doorstep. They'd either be red oak or white. White. And he'd come around and he'd look and he'd give you a warning. This doorstep's not clean.
Who'd give you the warning?
The landlord.
Oh, really?
Mercers, yeah. Yeah, so that's why you always see...
I just thought it was like personal pride.
No. Well, I suppose it was, but you still had to have it. I mean, if he come around and see the doorstep wasn't done, yeah, you could get evicted quite easily.
Was that stuff happening during the war as well then? Did you have to keep that, or was they a bit more lenient then?
Well, they still, the people still, but then their excuse was they couldn't get the red ochre. I mean, they come and took all the pots and pans, didn't they?
Yeah.
Took all the railings. My mum was left with a frying pan, one big saucepan, and something else because they took everything off of us. So. But they managed. But it was, you worked hard years ago. I mean, I tell you what I used to hate when they was going to hang somebody. Oh, I hate that morning.
Hang someone?
Yeah, when they used to hang people. Used to...
Why would that impact you?
Because you'd be in work and the machine had to be turned off, all of us, and we'd all have to stand there quiet until 8 o'clock. And then once the 8 o'clock finished charming, you could put your machine back on.
So the bells would go, would they?
Oh, yeah. With the hanging, yeah.
Dear.
A lot of people don't know that.
No.
No.
So someone was getting hanged for murder or whatever.
Yeah.
Then the bells...
machine went off and everybody in the factory stayed quiet until it'd go dong, 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 8 o'clock. And then once it was 8 o'clock, we knew he'd been hanged and the machines went on. I never liked that. Used to make me feel bad, that did.
Yeah.
But the older women used to say, well, he's done wrong when he's got hanged and that's it. And that was the answer. That's how people was.
It was just an harder time. Did people look after each other? I suppose, because you see this in, you know, like that community life, especially because it's like streets were staying together, especially before the war, during the war. Did people speak about things? For example, when the men came back, can you ever remember them speaking about what they saw or what they did?
My mum's brother, his name was Arthur, he was called Jumbo. Don't ask me why, but he was called Jumbo. And he was telling our mum, he said, my God, he said, I thought we had it bad enough in the front. He said, but London, it being bombed, he said, it's terrible, said to my mum. He said, I'll be glad to get back, he said. And nearly all the men said that would be glad to get back because bombs used to drop pretty bad, and especially the buzz bomb, because they used to drop flat. Say they was going over, the other bombs used to twist. Right, but the other bombs used to go bzzz, stop and fall dead, and that was it. But after the war, my governor's son, greedy little so-and-so, ration came off, and it was announced while we was working. He ran out and got chocolate, and he melted it, and he sat at the top of the where we was all working with this bowl of chocolate with biscuits dipping in it and eating it. Well, I think just before we chat off, we all threw the stomach at him. We must have hurt him because we all threw something at him. And we went running to the shop, but they sold out of chocolate. Everybody had bought it, so we didn't get none that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like that, was it? It was just announced, this is the time.
It just was announced, today, chocolate's off ration. Of course, everybody rushed out and bought it. But it was just coming up to, we'd just gone back to work, which would have been about 1:30, so about 2 o'clock they announced that. Yeah, greedy little so-and-so. Yeah. But as we've all finished, we all threw something. I threw a big roll of cotton at him. And I think I hurt him. I'm glad I hurt him. I left then. Yeah.
Did you get sacked or did you
No, I've never been sacked.
Really?
Never been sacked. Years ago, I'd go to work and... I might do a morning. No, I don't like this job, and go next door and get another job. One week, I had to go to four different places to get me wages. Four different places to get me wages. But I've had some good jobs in my time. I worked for Anne Shelley, and I was very small.
Yeah.
And I was in the showroom, and when the men come in, I used to put the dress on so they could see it, and I earned good money there, really good money. And... yeah, I've had some really, really good jobs. Worked in the betting office. First betting office ever opened was Lou Harris. I worked for her.
And there's lots of hairs, isn't there? There's lots of women that are setting these things up.
Well, she was the first betting office to open, Lou Harris.
Yeah.
And And then I'd done, the last job I had was a brilliant job. I worked for Lintas, advertising people.
Okay.
Oh, it was brilliant. That was absolutely, I had a fantastic time. I used to look forward to going Monday to go work.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Did you always work around Stepney? Or did you go further afield?
I went further afield towards the end, but nearly always worked in Stepney, yeah.
What was the main industry then in the Stepney?
Clothing, wasn't it? The Jewish was people it? Had loads of clothing, yeah. Good clothing, not like today's rubbish. No, it's true, though. Yeah. My gran was called Old Boots. She used to say to me, keep my clothes because the world goes around in a circle and they'll come in fashion. She's right, they have come in fashion. Yeah. They've come in fashion, yeah. Really have. And she was a character, she was. Really was, Old Boots. I said, went in the petting office one day, I went, here, my nan's always got new slippers on. Why do you call her Old Boots? Well, years ago, because I didn't have a till, you used to have to sign your name. And she put down Old Boots. Right. So if anybody found a ticket, you'd have to sign Old Boots to get your money back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know, would you? So yeah, yeah. She got nicknamed Old Boots, she did.
Yeah.
Lovely old girl she was.
Yeah. Did you know, like during the war, but the because we're quite disassociated from like Iraq and Afghanistan, the wars now, yeah. Like being thousands of miles away.
Same.
Do we? Because we can't. Well, I can't imagine conflict being on my doorstep. I can't imagine, you know, bombs dropping, and the communities, you know, this like the civilians getting. Bond. Did you feel part of the conflict?
But as I told you before, if you say there was a war now and there was bombs falling, you can't do nothing. So it's just a day thing, you know. It's like getting up, having breakfast and knowing it's going to happen. It didn't affect me so much as a lot of other people.
Did people bottle it up? Because you speak really openly about it, but was there a lot of people that weren't speaking?
Well, my mum wouldn't get out of bed for a bomb. She used to say, oh, they're going to bomb it later, but I'm going to stay in my bed. She wouldn't go down the shelter, my mum. Towards the end, a lot of people wouldn't.
They just accepted it, like it was just...
Yeah, my friend was in the Bethnal Green disaster. She was the little girl who got pulled out with her hair. Jeannie was. She's still alive.
I mean, that was atrocious and that doesn't get spoken about.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
They just put a big memorial up. Yeah. I'd done a lot of line dancing and my line dancing people, Doreen and all them, we raised £1,000 for a light.
Oh, okay.
Because there's lights going and we collected £1,000 for a light.
Brilliant.
And we only done line dance and we done shows in there.
Yeah.
I like dancing. Yeah. I can't do it now because of my lungs, but...
The disaster that Bethnal Green, was it about 160 died?
Oh, more than that.
Oh, was it
139.
More?
If you go up and read them, it's heartbreaking to read them.
Lots of children,
the youngest one to die was 3 months old.
Oh.
3 months or 6 months, I think. No, I think it was 6 months the youngest one to die.
I know there's a bit of recognition for it now, but it was really hushed over, wasn't it? Like propaganda, because the government didn't want it to.
Well, they wouldn't open the tube at first, would they, for them?
Is that what happened?
Well, they fought hard, the women, to have that open so they could go down there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they rushed down there because the bombs were falling. They one fell and... One fell and another one fell and another one fell. That's how they all got crushed. Yeah.
So it wasn't down in the tube, it was just on the stairs?
No, and in right the way down all the stairs, because there's a lot of stairs there. I've never, as I said, I've stayed away from underground. It's only recently that... Well, we was on... Coming back one day, there was a young lady and a man and me were sitting there, and all of a sudden the train stopped in the middle of the tunnel. He grabbed me, I grabbed him. And she was a nurse, thank God. She said, now, you two calm down. She said, we'll be moving. And I looked at him, I said, claustrophobia. He went, yeah. The train went back and we both jumped off. So the woman said, now, get back on, because we had to get back on to get where.
Yeah.
But no, I don't like him at all. I don't like him at all.
The impact of war, like you can just say, I know you're being quite blasé about it, but you know, you're with your sister with the bombings and all the rest of the kind of the experiences that went on in, around the Blitz and especially on the East End. And then we have things like the Poppies, which commemorate you know, the service personnel that, that died and the parade that goes through it. And I only bring this up because I think it's really relevant. And I think, go on, you carry on because you...
The parade for the Poppies, yes. I was out there one day and everybody was quiet. And I thought, no. And all of a sudden the men could come out, the old soldiers, and I shouted over there, good luck to all your thanks. And I started singing.
Yeah.
And I made everybody sing.
Yeah, yeah.
But did upset me because we tried to, we wanted to go on the march, the evacuees.
Mm.
We wanted to go on the end. We didn't want to go on the front. We didn't want to go on the middle. We wanted to go on the end. All us kids were left. What was left, and I wanted to go on the end of the evacuees. They wouldn't allow it. We fought hard, and they wouldn't allow it. Because although we didn't do nothing in the war, you know, we still come in the war.
Yeah, you would.
And I think the government was wrong not to let us do it.
I think the women, you know, the, you know, you look at it, it's easy for me to say it now, but, you know, the women that, and we just look at the East End, we look at Stepney, the women that, that kept it going, that kept that place that got going and kept industry going, and the children there that, that were massively impacted by conflict in a negative way. You know, you're going out to be evacuated and coming and going and then witness, you know, buried alive, Mary.
And I lost I lost a family, you remember. I lost my complete family. Winnie went away. Laura went in the Land Army. She never came back. She still lives in Lincolnshire.
So that's two of your sisters.
That's true. Alice went to Wales.
Dad.
She never came back.
Yeah.
I was the only one who would come back. Mum and Dad splitted.
Who did you live with?
My dad. But I didn't get on very well with him. I don't know why. We just, I just didn't get on all that well with him.
Mm.
And I was very clever. You know, I worked, figured out something. Well, I want to go to a dance. Dad, Mum said I can go to the dance if it's all right with you. Of course, I didn't know nothing about it. And I'd done the same to my mum.
Yeah.
So I played them. I learned how to play
Kids
the
are still
two
doing that. Kids are still doing that.
I learned how to play the two of them. So what they done, they made an arrangement that Dad kept us.
Yeah.
But Mum clothed us.
Oh, okay.
And that was the arrangement. So Mum clothed us, Dad fed us.
Was there a reason why your mum didn't have you with her? Staying.
Yeah, because she was with a lover and her mum. And she'd have a row with her lover and go back to her mum, and that.
Okay.
There was nowhere for us to go with our mum.
It was a bit chaotic there, was it?
Yeah, there was nowhere to go with our mum. And I only had two bedrooms, which was for her and her husband and me mum.
Yeah.
And dad had what you call a front house, not a back house. That means, as we're sitting in here, that was a front house. There was no, you can't go out at the back.
Right.
It's all closed in. Well, in his bedroom, there used to be an umming and there was a door. So this particular day, Mari decides to go and have a investigate. So I gets the boxes and there's a window. So I goes out the window.
Oh, up?
Yeah.
Onto the room.
I could walk right the way through to where the arches was in the other row.
Right.
And look down on them. And, when we moved, my sister and I, there a couple of years back, she asked, she said, well, let's go and see that where we were brought up. I said, all right, Laura. So we goes back, knocks on the door, and the man says, oh, come in, you know.
Mm.
Well, there was a little landing upstairs, and my dad always wanted to put a bathroom there, but he wouldn't allow it, the man. And he dad, and I looked at Laura, I said, look, Dad wanted to do them all them years. Because he's bored, he could do it. And now we goes down into his bedroom. So I said to him, do you hear noises in here? He said, yeah, it's an umming. So I said, yeah. I said, there's a secret door in here because our dad had it bolted up. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, if you pull that bolt out there, I said, you'll find a lovely little door there with a little room in there. Say half the size of this.
Yeah.
He went, is there? So my lawyer said, oh, I don't remember it. I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, you wasn't here when I found it. No.
It was just a little room.
It was like it went in a V shape like that. And it was quite a big room. And there was a skylight up.
Oh, right. And he boarded that section
up. He had a board put over it because it did used to hum. Because if you go around, like Dad's there, so you went around, there was all arches
made
and done painting cars and all things okay. like that. And you could hear the hamming from them.
Yeah. So you've just put about 50 grand on his property by telling him that.
Yeah, he was shocked.
Yeah, I bet he was.
He was shocked.
I bet he was. Yeah. When the war was over and the rebuilding started, was there a lot of activity in...
Ben Johnson Road and Stepney Way and that, there was a lot of buildings. Again.
Was it vibrant or did it feel oppressed? Did you still feel... Because you mentioned it earlier on about feeling still like you was on rations and it wasn't all this...
It wasn't easy for the first about three years. It was hard after the war. I mean, you couldn't buy nothing. You looked in shop windows. You used to go, what we call years ago, window shopping.
Mm.
You're going window shopping. That means you're going to go and look at things because you can't buy them because you ain't got no coupons. But as my mum was what she was, we was more lucky than a lot more people. I think I was the hardest one because I would scrape my shoes and rip my clothes. Oh, I was right tail away. Should have been a boy. But,
yeah, girls can do it as well. You used to hire a bike,
you know, because it just cost you sixpence to hire a bike. Well, I had a bike, but my friends used to have to hire one. And, it was very like we had York Square. There was a lovely park there, but there was a park keeper. He lived in the attic. If you put your foot on that grass, you was barred from the park for a week.
Mm.
And all you could do was walk around there like that. Wasn't allowed to go on the grass. And St. Dunstan's, another place. There was a big fence around and there was a man lived in the middle of the thing, frightened the life out of me, he used to. And it was all gravestones in there, weeds up there. If you touch the fence, I swear to God, he had hearing out of this world. He'd come running out and he was a right tramp looking, you know. And now it's all pulled down and everybody can tread on it and go on it and everything. Same as Shadwell Park. They used to have big squares of grass and they'd open one up on a weekend for you to go and have a picnic on it. Then they'd shut it and then they'd open another one on the weekend so you could have. And then Dan Shadwell used to have a skating on. Used to be not a very big friend, but used to be out skating on a Saturday night. Sometimes they'd have a band, and you used to go dancing down there by the river, by Shadwell. Now they're building an open sewer down there now.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, people took pride in it.
There was a lot of pride in it. I mean, you used to see this. They used to clean the drains. When do they clean the drains now? They used to sweep the road every day, the big lot. And I don't know if you've been down Rotherhithe Tunnel, have you?
Yeah.
When I was a little girl, you know when you go in a car wash and you've got the things, there used to be this big lorry and it was exactly the same as that and you'd do one side of the pipe and then you'd come down, it used to be spotless. You could have ate your dinner off the pavement. Have you been down there lately? It is disgusting. They're supposed to be doing it up or something. Oh, don't ask me what they've done. They took all the tiles off. It looks like a drum.
Is it changed a lot then? Because you're still in Stepney.
We wasn't allowed to go through the pipe because we used to fight with the Bermondsey people.
All right.
That was a thing.
Was you a gang leader?
No, but I was in the gang. No, we wasn't allowed to go through the pipe, but we used to meet now and again and have a fight, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing serious, you know. Nothing really serious, but no. My husband, when he was young, he met a boy every night and they had a fight. And at the end, every night, they shook hands and they said, look, I can't win, you can't win. They become best of friends.
Really?
That's how it was years ago.
Yeah.
No knives, no guns. I can't speak for the Craigs because, I mean, people run them down, but they was good to Stepney people.
Were they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they looked after the Stepney people. You couldn't... If an old girl was at down in a lake, they'd help her. Or if somebody hurt somebody, you know, a little bit elderly, they wouldn't stand for that at all.
Really?
No.
Did you know of them then when they were...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because my dad's brother boys were boxers, Georgie Walker and Billy Walker.
Oh, okay.
They was boxers. And one day, this is in the book, Dad gave me a message to give to Georgie. It had to be given to him. I knew they was going to meet in the Black Horse. He said, go to the Black Horse and give him this message. So I said, all right. And out the Black Horse I went. I walked in the pub. Well, I never knew which one picked me up. I never knew which one was which with the twins. He picked me out. He said, go, Walker, you don't come in the pub. I said, I could get about Georgie a message. give it to me. No, I've got to give it to him personal. I said it. He said, you saucy little Mary. He said, you're not coming in. I said, well, I'll stay here then. Well, you wasn't allowed to stand outside pubs. He knew that.
Yeah.
So he went and found Georgie and I gave him the message.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
But, I've met him. My minder was Bobby Ramsey. You had minders years ago.
What do you mean? What's a minder?
He looked after you. No relation, no love affair or nothing like that. He looked after you. And one day I was waiting outside the picture house and Bobby came along. What are you doing? I said, I've got a date. I'm waiting for someone. Oh, you are waiting for somebody, yeah. And all of a sudden Jimmy came along.
That's your husband?
Yeah. It wasn't then.
No.
He got hold of him by the scruff of the neck. He said, if you keep her waiting again, he says, you won't have time. You'll be doing time, he went, you know. Jimmy says, who's that? So it's my minder. But then my son used to look after a girl.
What's a minder? I don't understand it.
Yeah, everybody had a minder years ago.
What, just like someone who looked after
somebody who protected you. You know, like...
Like an uncle?
No, uncles, no. Say somebody was to hurt me and Bobby found out, he would literally more or less kill him. No. He bent over once.
Was it an East London thing? Or?
He wasn't. Well,
was it being having minders? I've never heard it. Yeah, I don't know why I would, but.
We was in the cafe one day and we all thought Bobby was whispering to this bloke. He bit his nose off. He was a violent little sod. He's passed over now, so. He was wanted in South Africa for doing something bad. I'm not going to say over the world or so. And he just looked after me.
Was there,
I didn't go out to find, nobody really ever hurt me, but he wouldn't stand anybody hurting me or anything like that.
Was he like a local boy then, was he?
Yeah.
So did everyone look after each other? I think I've asked you before, but it seems like it always draws back to like that community. And it might have been shattered after the war.
When you was in school, never had no fights in my school. What am I talking about? We didn't have no education in school.
Mm.
When the war was over, they gave soldiers a job. Oh, you can go and teach and that. They didn't have no. They used to say to us kids, what do you want to do today? We used to say, we don't know what you're doing, but we're going over Victoria Park and play randos or something. Or we'd bring our skates to school.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't have much education, you know. Well, I didn't, anyway. We used to have a big tin of malt. And the spoon would go in my mouth, and then the spoon would go in her mouth. Never washed the spoon.
Yeah.
But none of us was never ill.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, we never had cancer or things like that years ago, did we? And the people lived old. Well, not old. They didn't live old years ago. 65 was the worst name. But think about the food we had years ago.
Mm.
Roly-poly, jam.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. But it's moderation, isn't it? Because I bet you didn't gorge on things. You know, everything was in moderation. You had, obviously, the rationing.
Yeah.
You was only taking...
My mum used to love a belly of pork, right? And... being a butcher and the fat, it's all fat, and the fat would be running down her chin and she'd go. And if you was near her, you didn't stay, she'd rub it on your cheeks. Yeah, she said, do your skin good.
All right.
And if she cooked the dinner, she always put a bit of fat over it.
Yeah.
Do you good, better than anything. And medicine, they used to make them. My mother-in-law used to get a jar like that if you had a cough.
Yeah.
Put a gauze on it, grate an onion up, bit of sugar and a bit of rum, I think it was. And whatever went down there, you drank it. And I'll tell you what, you needn't cough no more. And Thermo.
It sounds like a remedy of a witch, you know, like years ago, you know, like an old wives kind of.
You never went to the doctors if you broke the bone or anything. You went to a butcher.
Did you?
Of course you did. You did down in Wales, anyhow. My sister, I think she broke her wrist or something, went to a butcher. Or they all went to a butcher if they broke something.
Mm.
He mended it. He set it. No.
Yeah.
I can't remember ever going to a doctor. No.
Well, you're here now, fighting fit.
Yeah, I am. Well, I'm fighting, but I'm not all that. I'm, you know.
You've just climbed about 500 stairs to get into this into the studio.
They nearly killed me as well.
Bloody hell, I don't want to be
responsible.
Why'd
you got a lift here?
The Nazi, well, it's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
The Nazis couldn't kill you. I don't want this podcast to do it.
Do you know what? I'll tell you something about the war. At the top of our turning, we had a lovely shop, beautiful shop. He was a German, and it was, I used to love to go in there. It was spotless. The war broke out, say, 2 o'clock. He was decamped by 4 o'clock. Never, ever see that man no more. They rounded all the Germans up.
What's your opinion on the Germans after?
I'll tell you something, and this is the gospel truth. I was in Liverpool Street Station, and I've always hated the Germans because they took away my family.
Mm.
They took away all my loved ones. They took away a lot, you know. And I was in Liverpool Street Station and waiting for the train. And I said to this, anybody sitting here? And he said, no. I went, oh, you're German. And he went to get up and said, no. I said, I've always hated you people, I said, and I realised then, I don't know why, but I realised then he was in the same situation as I was in as a kid.
Mm.
You know, he didn't want to war and lose his mum and dad. And do you know that man? He said, the last time I spoke to a London old lady, she spit in my face.
Mm.
I went, well, I won't spit in your face. And we kissed one another. And you know, he walked away with tears in his eyes.
I bet he did.
He did. And I felt, it was the first time I'd ever felt ashamed of hating somebody. I don't like hate. It's a bad thing. I don't like deceit. I don't like thieving. I don't like, I've never been jealous of nobody because you only hurt yourself. And I've never been a greedy person. I've always shared.
Mm.
And as my mum always taught me, if you can't do good, don't do bad.
Mm.
But that German that day, I sat there and I thought, my God, all them years I've hated him. What a terrible thing. I felt ashamed of myself. I really did. But when he turned around, he got a little way out and he turned around and he went.
Did he? Blow your kiss.
And he was a lovely looking man as well, you know. But what, how must he have felt?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
There was a lot of, I'm assuming there's a lot of shame and there's been.
But as a kid, you don't think of that.
No, of course you don't.
You know, he's done something wrong to my family, you know.
It lasted a long time. It lasted, you know,
a long time.
I remember being in the 80s and on the field on the back of the where we lived, and a plane flew overhead, and everyone was going, "The Germans are coming." And that was in the 80s. So hatred's a strong word, but you know that you were bombed, and there was a lot of propaganda, but the acceptance you've just shown.
Did
you feel like you've grown because of?
I'm glad I done it now. I'm glad.
Not just that instant, but do you feel like you're a better person because of the hardship of war?
I think I look at it this way. If there was a slump in food and everything, I would survive. You wouldn't. I would. I know I would survive. And like we was in the club one day and my friend's 94, another one's in the 90s. And this woman was lecturing what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. This is bad for us and that's bad for us. And she turned around and said, well, we shouldn't be here. We've had the wrong stuff all our lives, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nothing after the war.
Yeah.
Saturday night, a piano had come out in the street, bonfire, all the potatoes was chucked in. And then you get the potatoes out, wrap all the soot off and eat it. I mean, what we were here. I mean, there's a lot of things that people don't. We didn't have no toothpaste years ago.
Mm.
We cleaned our teeth with soot and salt, a bit of salt on it, and up the chimney with a bit of salt. That's why nearly all old people today has got dentures. We didn't have no toothpaste. There were so many things we didn't have, but we survived. Can you imagine this generation surviving? I mean, they wouldn't survive.
Humans are resilient, and children especially are like ultra resilient in your situation, and just hearing you, you know, this last hour, it's a really, really amazing to listen and to kind of just your outlook on life's great.
Yeah.
The story about that acceptance and understanding that individuals
man,
in
that
conflict, man. Its agendas, and
it's
political, yeah. And government, and we can't help who we, you know, we've
it's
used.
A terrible thing to hate somebody, you know. Just the thought of saying a joke. I mean, my daughter said one day, we're going on holiday. I said, oh, my Lisa, yeah, where are you going? Italy, Germany. I said, well, if you go, I'll never talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant it, because she was going to Germany. She was going to someone who hurt me, you know. And she said, you mean it? I said, yeah, I do.
But not
I wouldn't accept it now. I went to Germany.
Mm.
And it's beautiful. It was absolutely out of this world, you know. And they're so clean out there. I mean, our country's getting really dirty. I mean, years ago, you could play marbles in the gutter and you wouldn't get a bit of dirt on you.
Yeah,
today,
yeah.
You couldn't even put your foot in the gutter, let alone him. You know how Kate Thompson met me?
No, go on.
She was, coming down, I was cleaning out, I got a big wheelie bin and I wash it out, you know, shake it and wash it out.
Yeah.
And she came down, she said, are you Mari? I said, yes, Kate, but let me finish washing my bin out. I still wash a bin out and clean outside the door.
Yeah, so we're referring to, she's great, Kate Thompson's book, The Stepney Doorstep Society.
Yeah,
you're
good.
In it, right?
Yeah.
And I absolutely recommend
people
read it. Like, go and get it. Like, it's just great.
It's a
great format.
Book, yeah.
You know, your personality comes across in your chapter. Mari, we're going to have to wrap it up a little bit, but go on.
I like people. It's strange. I get on with people pretty well. I get on with men more than women in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I've had some good times. No, like today, sex and all things like that. I mean, I'm going to a club at the moment and I'm sitting with these youngsters and they're making me blush, you know. They said something the other day and I went in with my old man and they asked me to do that. I would have been at all. You could imagine what they said. And they're so forward. I think to keep bedroom secrets is a good thing. But it's all out in the open there. It's not I love the world, don't get me wrong. I love people, but it's not, they're not my people no more.
No.
There's not many Stepney people left now. I mean, a great friend just died. He was a Cockney. There's not many of us left now.
Mm.
Hardly any of us left at all.
But,
and I miss my husband because we used to talk Cockney, you know. He wouldn't ever say shut the door, he'd say put the wood in the hole. You know, and my great-grandchildren correct me. I say water. I mustn't say water. I've got to say water, you know. And he's Luke's five, but he corrects me on a lot of words I say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can't hear my voice. I talk normal. But when I went to America, all the people wanted me to do was talk to them.
Yeah. Well, look, with this podcast, a lot of people are going to hear your voice for a long, long time to come. And I thank you so much for coming in today.
I've enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah. I hope I've said what you wanted to say. But
you've just said your story.
as I said, after the war, we never fought with kids. We played with them. We was happy in our way because we didn't know no difference. It's everything else. You don't know no difference. If you're born rich, you're rich. If you're born poor, you're born poor. And that's what you take your life, what's given to you.